Okay, welcome everybody to Maseches Beitza. Today we're going to do Beitza Daf Beis Amud Aleph. First thing to know about Maseches Beitza is that according to most Rishonim, there is no such Masechta called Maseches Beitza. Most Rishonim refer to it as Maseches Yom Tov, but since the first word of the Masechta is Beitza, so that's why we call it Maseches Beitza. The Masechta is going to deal with the Chiyuv to not do Malacha Anyantif, the mitzvah to have simcha anyantif, how to make sure to have good food and drink and clean clothing and davening, special davening anyantif, to learn Torah anyantif, these types of issues. But we're going to discuss a lot of issues relating to muktzah, certainly toward the beginning of the Masechta. We're going to have a whole bunch of ancillary topics, how yantif is in certain ways similar to Shabbos and different than Shabbos in terms of the malacha. We're going to discuss those malachos that you're allowed to do on yantif but not allowed to do on Shabbos. We're going to discuss Eruvei Tchumen, a whole lot of very fascinating topics in Maseches Beitza. There's also discussion in the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Mishnayos in Maseches Beitza, whether the Masechta should be called Beitza or Be'a. I call it Beitza because that's what my Rebbe calls it, but that is an interesting discussion in the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Mishnayos at the very beginning of the Masechta. So let's begin with the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Beitza shenol de b'yom tov. If an egg is laid on Yom Tov, Beishame Yomrim Teachal, Beishame says you may eat the egg that day on Yantif. Ubeisil Yomrim Lo Teachal, Beisil says you can't eat it that day, you have to wait till the next day. A further machlokas Beishame, Beisil Beishame Yomrim Sa'or Bekazayis, V'chameitz Bekoseves. When you're dealing with Sa'or, with yeast, one has to destroy it on Pesach, even if you only have a kezayis. But chametz, which isn't as strong as yeast, you only have to destroy if you have a size of a date, which is larger than a kezayis. But ubeis hillel omrim, zeve zeve kezayis. Whether you're dealing with sa'ar or whether you're dealing with chametz, if you have a kezayis of it, you must destroy it. A further machlokes, hashochet chayev ha'of b'yom tov. If someone shechts a beast or a bird on Yantif, the halacha is that only when one shechts a chaya or an oaf do you require kisui adam. We do this mitzvah nowadays, still a mitzvah that's observed, that when one shechts a chicken, for example, it's an oaf, we do kisui adam, we cover the blood with some dirt. So let's say you shecht a chaya, but when you shecht a behema, there's no mitzvah of kisei adam. So when one shechts a chaya or an oaf on Yom Tov, b'Yom Tov b'Shamei Yomrim Yachbor b'Deker v'Yichase. B'Shamei says you can actually dig up dirt and cover the blood on Yantif itself, not a problem. Beisil Omrim lo yishchot elim kein hayilo afer muchan mibod yom. And Beisil says, no, you shouldn't be shechting a chaya or an oaf unless you already had dirt prepared from before Yantif, because you should not be digging on Yantif. But umodim, both Beishame and Beisil agree, she'im shachat, that if you already did shecht and now you have the mitzvah of kisui adam in front of you, even though you didn't prepare dirt before, she'yachbar b'dekar v'yechase, that you should still dig and cover the blood. Or you have another option, shefer kiramuchan, who you could also cover it with the ashes of your stove, because that's considered to be something that's not muktzah at all, and it's set aside from before Yom Tov. So essentially what we have in this Mishnah is three machlokos between Bisham and Bisilel. One is, can you eat an egg that's laid on Yom Tov on that day, or do you have to wait till the next day? Do you have to wait till after Yom Tov? Second, what the shear is of chametz on Pesach, is it a kezayis or a koseves? And the third is whether a person is allowed to shecht if he doesn't have allowed to shecht a chayor or an oaf if he doesn't have dirt already dug before Yantif. Says the Gemara, we mentioned Beitza Shenolda on Yantif. B'mayaskina, what are we talking about over here exactly? What's the situation with this chicken that's laying the egg? If we're talking about a chicken that's meant to be eaten, so then why would Basil not allow you to eat the egg? Because after all, at any moment you could shecht that chicken and you could eat the whole chicken with the egg. So it's not muktzah, it's food that's been separated from other food. It should be totally fine. It's like cutting off a piece of your steak. The whole chicken is considered to be food. No, we must be talking about a chicken that's designated not for shechita, but to lay eggs. So, but if that's the case, why would Beis Shammai allow you to eat it? Muktzahi, that egg is muktza because it came out of the chicken, which itself is muktza and cannot be eaten. So the Gemara says, "My kushya, why is that problematic to us? Dilma Beis Shammai leslu muktza. Maybe in chinami it's muktza, but Beis Shammai doesn't have a problem with muktza. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has a shita that there's no issue of muktza. Let's say you have leftover oil in your ner, in your candle. Rabbi Shimon says it's not a problem of muktza. So even if Beis Shammai doesn't hold of muktza, so says the Gemara, kasalka daitan, afilu." The reason we were bothered, though, in Beis Shammai's opinion, is that even if you don't hold of muktza, one might still say nolad is a stronger form of muktza. You know, muktza is something that's not designated for use from before. Nolad is something that didn't even exist before. Before Yontif, there was no egg here. So that's why we're asking, my tamei of Beis Shammai. How could Beis Shammai allow the egg that was laid on Yontif if we're talking about a chicken that was not designated to be eaten? After all, the egg is brand new to the world. Isn't that the strongest form of muktza? So even if you take a very lenient view of muktza, you gotta hold that there's a problem with the egg. So that's why our Gemara right now is stuck. If you're assuming that the chicken is a chicken that was designated for eating, there's no reason in the world to be machmir about this. Why would Beis Hillel not allow the egg? If we're talking about a chicken that's not meant to be eaten, there's no reason to be makel about it. Why would Beis Shammai possibly be makel? So the Gemara brings several explanations of our Mishnah. We're not going to get to all of them in today's Amud. Explanation number one. Amar Rav Nachman, li'olam b'tarnegolos ha'medes l'gadol beitzim, v'd'islei muktza islei nolad. Really, we're talking about a chicken that is meant to lay eggs and not to be eaten, and therefore it should be a significant muktza problem. And if you hold of muktza, you hold of nolad, obviously, because nolad is a stronger form of muktza. It's brand new to the world. But here's the key. V'd'islei muktza, less they know that. Beishamek Rabbi Shimon, ubeisiluk Rabbi Yehuda. And if you don't hold of muktza, not only do you not hold of a problem of regular muktza, you don't even have a problem with nolad, with something that's brand new to the world. And that's the shita that Beis Shammai is following. Rabbi Shimon's shita, who doesn't have a problem with muktza, and mimela, he doesn't have a problem with nolad either. Whereas Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmir on both muktza and therefore obviously on nolad as well. Frak the Gemara, Yom Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman hold that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that we're machmir on muktza, v'hatnan, but we have a Mishnah Masecha Shabbos, Beis Shammai Yom Magbin Me'al Shulchan Atzamos U'Klipin, Beis Shammai says you're allowed to pick up off the table on Shabbos bones that are no longer edible, or shells that are not edible, it's not a problem of muktza, u'Beis Hillel Omrim, Misalik HaSatav L'Kula, Beis Hillel says, you're not allowed to pick them up, but you can take off the tabletop because that's considered a kli, that's not muktza, uminara, and shake off the tabletop. V'amram Nachman, anu, so that's how we learned the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but says Gemara, v'amram Nachman, Rav Nachman said, anu ein lanu, ela Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda, u'Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. We don't have that gears in the Mishnah. We have that Beis Shammai is machmir, like Rabbi Yehuda, to Asr Muksa, and Beis Hillel is the one that's mekel. So how come Rav Nachman over here, in explaining our Mishnah, says that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muktza? In Masecha Shabbos, Rav Nachman says that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Muktza, the more lenient view when it comes to Muktza. So Armalach Rav Nachman says, that's not a contradiction at all. There's a big difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gabe Shabbos de Sasam Lantana Krabi Shimon. When it comes to Shabbos, where we have a Stam Mishnah that assumes the lenient view of Muktza, of Rabbi Shimon, Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Shabbos, Mechad Chinesa Deluin, Lefne Behema, you're allowed to cut gourds and melons in front of an animal, Vesa Nevela Lefne Klavim, and you're allowed to cut pieces of a Nevela, of a dead animal, in front of a dog, even though when Shabbos started, that animal may have been alive, and it was not something that was designated as dog food, that's perfectly mutter. We're not worried about mukta. So since you have a stamish and mesech Shabbos that's apparently not worried about mukta, mokum la lebeis hillel. Rabbi Shimon, Rav Nachman would rather say that when it comes to Shabbos, beis hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon that we're not worried about mukta. Aval, gabi yom tov. But when it comes to yom tov, the sasam lantana Rabbi Yehuda, where we have a stam mishnah that says mukta is also like Rabbi Yehuda, ditnan, because the mishnah says ein mevak meitzim min akoros velo min akoros nishbra bi yom tov, that a person is not allowed to take off pieces of wood from beams that are lying on the ground, nor from a beam that broke on Yom Tov, that you can't use it anymore as a building material, and the only thing you could use it for is for firewood. You're not allowed to use it because when Yom Tov started, it was not designated for firewood, so it's considered to be mukta. So you see that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Yom Tov, that we're machmir about mukta. So therefore, mokum la lebeisil al Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Nachman said that he'd rather assume that that we're gonna go like that beisil follows the strict view of mukta when it comes to Yom Tov. So essentially, what we did is we asked the question, if our Mishnah is talking about a chicken that's meant to be eaten, there's no reason on earth to be machmir about its eggs. If our Mishnah is talking about a chicken that's meant to lay eggs and not to be eaten, there's no reason on earth to be makil about its eggs. So the Gemara had answered, Rav Nachman had answered, that no, the reason to be, we're talking about a chicken that's meant to lay eggs. And the reason that Beis Shammai is makil about the eggs is because he holds that we're not worried about mukta. He holds like the lenient view of Rabbi Shimon, and he thinks we're not even worried about the nolad form of mukta. And then the next point the Gemara made was, well, wait a second, does Beis Hillel really hold like the stringent view of mukta? In Shabbos, he seems to hold like the lenient view of mukta. So that's why we reconciled it by saying that Beis Hillel, the way Rav Nachman understands Beis Hillel, at least, he holds like the stringent view of mukta when it comes to Yom Tov, but the lenient view of mukta when it comes to Shabbos. So Beis Hashem will pick up there next time on Daf Beis Amud Beis.